I have never preached a sermon before from the book of 2 John. In fact, the great preacher of London, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, preached a sermon out of every book in the Bible except for 2 John. So after I finish this sermon, I'll be able to say I've done something Spurgeon has not. And the book of 2 John can also be found in page 1214 in the Pew Bibles in front of you, if you'd like to turn there. So let us turn there now. And it says in the book of 2 John, chapter 1, because there is only one chapter, in verse 7 it says, "For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the Antichrist." As Christians, we affirm that Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man. He is both God and man at the same time in the same person, Jesus Christ our Lord. To put it another way, he is a man with two natures. He is one person with two natures, humanity and deity, God and man at the same time. As the Apostle Paul put it in Colossians 2:9, "The whole fullness of deity dwells bodily." He is both God and man. He is the one who is eternally God the Son, who took upon himself human flesh in time and was born of the Virgin Mary for us and for our salvation. And there are many non-Christian cults today that deny the deity of Christ, such as the Jehovah's Witnesses, who falsely claim that Jesus is the Archangel Michael and is not God the Son. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is God and has existed for all of eternity as the Son of God. Now, in the first two centuries, strangely, there were many Greeks who may not have had a problem with the deity of Christ, but they had a problem confessing that Jesus Christ was truly human as we are. They didn't believe that Jesus was human as we are, but that he only seemed to be or he only appeared to be human. They believed, wrongly, that his humanity was an illusion. He wasn't truly human like us, and therefore he wasn't ever truly born and never truly died on the cross for our sins. And this was part of an early heresy known as Gnosticism. And so Gnosticism comes from the Greek word gnosis, which means knowledge. The Gnostics believed that they had a secret knowledge that only they knew about, and that salvation came through knowing this secret knowledge. And part of that secret knowledge was their belief that Jesus Christ was not truly human as we are, but that he was a mere spirit. And so the Gnostics had to explain away the death of Jesus Christ and his birth. And there were some Gnostics who believed that Jesus Christ was never truly born of the Virgin Mary. What they believed instead, that his birth was like something out of Star Trek. He was in the womb of Mary for one moment, and then all of a sudden he was out of the womb. He was beamed or teleported out of the Virgin's womb. And so this is a silly, false belief that they held to. And so John writes about these false teachers in this verse, and he says, "For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh." And that word flesh there is key. "Such a one is the deceiver and the Antichrist." Now these false teachers who believed this thought that they were elevating Christ. They thought that what they believed in was right and true and good, because in their mind, Jesus Christ could not have been truly human, because they believed that the material world and creation was intrinsically evil. They believed that this world was inherently corrupt. And so how could a good and pure and holy Jesus be human as we are? How could Jesus partake of that which they believed was evil? And so in their mind, such a thing could not be possible. There was another version of Gnosticism as well, because there was more than one kind of it. And some Gnostics, like Cerinthus, he believed that Jesus may have been a human, but he believed that at the baptism of Jesus, the Spirit, or the Christ, came upon Jesus, and then the Christ left him before he died on the cross. And so he did not believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, only that Jesus did. And so I think that's one reason why John says here that these false teachers do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Now, of course, the word Christ is a title. It's not a spirit. The word Christ is simply the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew word Messiah or Mashiach. It's a title that means king, Jesus Christ, who is our king, or Jesus the king, the one who is king of kings and lord of lords. And there's a legend, I don't know if it's true or not, about the Apostle John. Supposedly, John went into a bathhouse one day, and he saw the heretic Cerinthus there. And so in fear, he ran out of it, because he was afraid that the building would collapse around him, because God was going to judge Cerinthus for his sins and his heresy. The early Christian pastor, Ignatius of Antioch, also had to contend against this false belief of Gnosticism in the early 2nd century. And Ignatius was being led on his way from his hometown of Antioch to Rome, where he would die as a martyr for his Christian faith. And as he was traveling to Rome, he wrote several letters to the churches throughout the Christian world. And in these letters, he warned them about this heresy of Gnosticism. And I want to read to you some of what he wrote. And it's likely that Ignatius knew the Apostle John before John died. We know that Ignatius was friends of Polycarp, whom he wrote a letter to. And Polycarp, it is said, was a disciple of John the Apostle. And Ignatius wrote about this false belief. "Stop your ears, therefore, when anyone speaks to you of at variance with Jesus Christ, who was descended from David and was also of Mary, who was truly born and did eat and drink. He was truly persecuted under Pontius Pilate. He was truly crucified and truly died in the sight of beings in heaven and on earth and under the earth. He was also truly raised from the dead. His Father quickened him, even as after the same manner his Father will also raise up us who believe in him by Christ Jesus, apart from whom we do not possess the true life. But if, as some that are without God, that is, the unbelieving, say that he only seemed to suffer, they themselves only seeming to exist, then why am I in bonds?" He said also in another letter about this heresy, "Now, he suffered all these things for our sakes, that we might be saved. And he suffered truly, even as also he truly raised up himself, not, as certain unbelievers maintain, that he only seemed to suffer, as they themselves only seem to be Christians." So that's a funny joke. "And as they believe, so it shall be done to them, when they shall be divested of their bodies and shall be evil spirits. For I know that after his resurrection also he was still possessed of flesh, and I believe that he is so now. When, for instance, he came to those who were with Peter, he said to them, 'Lay hold, handle me, and see that I am no incorporeal spirit.' And immediately they touched him and believed, being convinced by both his flesh and his spirit. For this cause also they despised death and were found its conquerors." With the Christians of old, we confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that he is truly human as we are, yet without sin. God the Son became a true human baby. God became a baby. And that's what we celebrate at Christmas. Jesus Christ took upon himself our humanity while remaining fully God. Through the addition of humanity to his divine nature, he humbled himself and died for us. The Apostle John writes in John chapter 1, verse 14, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the Word, the Son of God, who was always with the Father. As John says in John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Word is both distinct from the Father and equal with the Father in nature. He is with God the Father at his side, and he is equal with God the Father. As John writes in John 1:18, "No one has ever seen God, the only Son who is God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." Jesus Christ came into the world not only to die for us, but to make known to us the Father, to make known to us the Father's love, and we see the Father's love, grace, and mercy in the person of the Son. And this very same eternal Word who came into the world was born of the Virgin Mary, grew up as a man, and suffered and died on the cross, was raised again, and ascended into heaven. And John calls in this verse, in 2 John 1:7, those who deny this truth, those who deny the humanity of Christ, he calls them deceivers and the Antichrist. And the word Antichrist literally means against Christ. Anti-Christ, to be opposed to Jesus Christ. And that is what these heretics believed in. They may have believed that their beliefs were elevating Jesus, but they were really diminishing who he was by taking away his humanity, without which we cannot be saved. Because if Jesus Christ was not truly human, we cannot be saved. If Jesus was not truly human, then he never could have died on the cross for our sins. A spirit cannot suffer and die on a cross. Jesus Christ also had to become a human being because it was a human being who sinned against God. It was man who sinned against God, and it is man who is deserving of punishment for his sins. And therefore, Jesus Christ had to take upon himself our sins and our failures on the cross as a human being, to suffer the punishment that we deserve as human beings upon himself on Calvary. He had to become a human being as well to represent us. In the Old Testament, they offered animal sacrifices for their sins, but an animal is a poor representation of a human being. And so there had to be a human sacrifice, Jesus Christ, one who could perfectly represent us in every way, yet without sin. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And therefore, the one who is God, who by nature is immortal and cannot die, had to become man in order to die for us. Deity taking upon humanity to suffer and die and represent us. And because the one who died is God the Son, his sacrifice is of infinite value to save us. Because his blood is the blood of God incarnate, his death atones for our sins. His death is powerful and sufficient and infinite in value and can cleanse every sin, past, present, and future. Therefore, he had to become flesh. He had to become as we are, flesh and blood. As the author of Hebrews says in Hebrews 2:17, therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Jesus Christ humbled himself for us. He humbled himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. And I love how one writer expressed the truth of the incarnation. In these beautiful words, this preacher said, "From the heights of glory to the depths of shame, from the wonders of heaven to the wickedness of earth, from exaltation to humiliation, from the throne to the tree, from dignity to debasement, from worship to wrath, from the halls of heaven to the nails of earth, from the coronation to the curse, from the glory place to the gory place. In Bethlehem, humility and glory in their extremes were joined, born in a stable, cradled in a cattle trough, wrapped in swaddling clothes of poverty, no room for him who made all rooms, no place for him who made and knows all places. Oh, deep humiliation of the Creator, born of the creature woman, but in his descent was the dawn of mercy. Because we cannot ascend to him, he descends to us." That is what Christmas is all about, the descent of God the Son, born of the Virgin Mary. And this very same Jesus is coming back again one day. He will descend from heaven a second time, not through the Virgin Mary, but in power and glory. In his first coming, he came as a lowly infant, innocent, helpless. But in his second coming, he will come as a conquering king to judge the living and the dead, to save his people. The Apostle Paul writes in Acts chapter 17, verses 30 to 31, that the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Paul calls in this chapter Jesus Christ the man, or a man Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is still a man to this day. He will always be a human being, and he will always be God the Son. Both of these things are true at the same time. And because he is truly human as we are right now, he can speak peace to us. He can intercede for us as a man before his Father, representing us at his right hand side. And even now, as I speak, his heart is still beating. Blood is still flowing through his veins at this very moment. Jesus Christ, the one who is God and man forever. And this evening, I want to ask you, are you ready for his coming? Are you ready to appear before Jesus Christ, the man? Are you ready for his coming again in glory? So how can I be? How can I be ready to face Jesus? And the way to be ready for his coming is to receive him, into your hearts, to accept him, to confess your sins to him, to confess with your mouth that he is Lord, and to believe in your heart the gospel that God has raised him from the dead, to trust in him and him alone for salvation, to look to him, to flee to him by faith, because it is faith in him and him alone that saves. We can't save ourselves by what we do, by our good works, only by his mercy and grace and blood. Only he can save us. He is our only hope in life and in death. And indeed, this has been a very difficult year for all of us. We have suffered greatly this year, and yet hope can be found in Jesus. Here is hope, an infant lying in a manger. And indeed, a baby changes everything, as I'm learning now with our son Julian. And Jesus Christ, who came as a baby, changes everything. He came to rescue and save, and in him we can find hope in a difficult time of year. And that is our hope. And my prayer for you is that you would find your hope in him. When the world is falling apart, that you would look to him by faith, the one who is no longer a baby, but is now a grown man in heaven, waiting for that time to come again to rescue us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these truths. We thank you that Jesus Christ indeed came in the flesh, that he is human like us, yet without sin. We thank you, Father, that we have an advocate, the righteous one, Jesus Christ, a great high priest whose name is love, one who can speak peace to us, one who can intercede for us when we sin, who is pleading for us even now, who is praying for us, and presenting before you, O Father, his finished work of atonement on the cross. He says about us, O Father, do not let that sinner die, for I have died for him, for I am interceding for him. And, O Lord, it is good to know that we have an advocate, that we have a friend in heaven who will come again one day to bring us to himself. And it is with that spirit of faith and hope that we pray these things in his name. Amen. Amen. And all of you are invited to stay afterward for cake and to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ together. And you are dismissed in his peace.